of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Tuesday, March 6th, 2007. Calling the meeting to order at 1:35 in the afternoon. Members present are Senators Bundy, Stevens, and myself, Senator Ellis. We have a full agenda today for the committee, and we're going to move along expeditiously. First up will be Senate Bill 84, Burning Capability of Cigarettes, by Senator Olson. Then we'll have our first hearing on Senate Bill 93, Professional Counselors, sponsored by Senator Davis. And then finally, Senate Bill 68, Motor Vehicle Insurance, by Senator French. So I know that's a little different order than some of you may have thought, but I'm just trying to manage the committee as efficiently as possible. So first item up before us is Senate Bill 84. And Dana, if you could join us at the witness table. There is a new committee substitute that's an outgrowth of the conversation at the last committee, and I'll ask committee staff to take us through those details. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dana Owen. I'm the staff to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The work draft you have in front of you, 596/K, the Labor and Commerce Committee CS for Senate Bill number 84, has one significant change from the work draft that you worked on in the last meeting. At the request of the Department of Revenue, we have reinserted those sections of the bill, sections 2 through 5, which had been dropped from the other work draft. I believe Joanna Bales from the Department of Revenue is online if you wish to ask more detailed questions. My understanding is, excuse me, that the purpose of retaining those sections from the original bill is to reduce the bureaucratic load on the Department of Revenue and also to reduce confusion amongst the retailers of cigarettes. What this change would do is to keep the Department of Revenue from maintaining two different lists of cigarettes that are eligible to be sold in the state.
Okay. Comments or questions for Mr. Owen? Are there any comments or questions for folks from Department of Revenue? Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Good morning, Joanna, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think you and I have shared a conversation before. We're concerned about the importation of smokeless tobacco and circumventing some of our laws. And I'm just wondering if you've looked at this bill, if the title's broad enough that we could indeed address some of those concerns under the title of this bill.
Well, for the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the program manager of the tobacco tax program for the state of Alaska with the Department of Revenue. And Senator Bundy, through the chair, I don't actually have a copy of the CS in front of me. I don't know if the title has been changed, and I'm not real sure if what you're suggesting can be done because I don't have that in front of me.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think the title has changed, has it?
Mr. Owen, could you join us back at the table? I believe that in the last committee substitute that we did adopt, the title was tightened. But from the last the committee substitute previously adopted by the committee to this proposed committee substitute, I don't believe there was a change in the title. Mr. Owen?
For the record, again, my name is Dana Owen. Actually, there has been a change to the title. I apologize. I didn't have my marked up version in front of me.
Okay.
In line 2, starting at the word relating, through line 4, ending with the word stamps, has been added back to the title. I believe those were also there in the original title.
Okay. Can we try and get Ms. Bales a copy of the, can someone send her a copy of the legislation or the proposed committee substitute? Ms. Bales, we're going to send that to you. Hopefully you'll be able to look at that and give Senator Bundy an answer to his question about what would be allowed under the new title.
Okay, thank you.
We also have Mr. Rusty Bellinger, the State Fire Marshal, with us to answer questions if necessary. Are there any other comments or questions about the proposed committee substitute? I suppose we could, why don't we hold this bill over then, and Ms. Bales can get a copy of the proposed committee substitute. and if we have the support, we'll adopt that a little bit later in the meeting. Is there anything further before we move on? If not, let's
Thank
set
you,
us.
Chairman.
You're welcome. Let's set aside Senate Bill 84 for the time being, and move on to. Not that I should note for the record that Senator Davis has joined us and Senator Hoffman has joined us as well. Let's move now to the first public hearing on Senate Bill 93, Professional Counselors, by Senator Davis. And Senator Davis, are you or staff presenting the bill today? One of you? Okay. If you could state your name for the record, please, and go right ahead.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Davis. Senate Bill 93 is an act relating to licensed professional counselors and relating to unlicensed use of the title professional counselor. Senate Bill 93 amends two sections of the Alaska statutes concerning professional licenses and insurance as regards licensed professional counselors. Section 1 of the bill amends Alaska Statute 829.0100A regarding unlicensed use of the title professional counselor and clarifies words, letters, or abbreviations reasonably confused with the titles of licensed professional counselor, and licensed counselor. Senate Bill 93 better protects the public from unlicensed individuals misusing these titles and misrepresenting themselves as having the same qualifications of licensed professional counselors who must complete formal educational requirements with a master's degree or higher in this area, pass a license qualifying exam, and complete lengthy supervised practice for not less than 2 years. Section 2 amends Alaska Statute 21.36.090D, the insurance provision that prohibits discrimination against licensed service providers under a group insurance policy if that service is within the scope of the provider's occupational license. Senate Bill 93 adds licensed professional counselors to the long list of providers in this category. Senate Bill 93 also increases access to needed services for some who formerly were excluded because licensed professional counselors were not included with other health care professionals in the non-discrimination clause of the insurance statute, again, AS 21.36.090D. Licensed professional counselors make up about one-third of all mental health professionals in the state of Alaska and represent about the same proportion of all counselors working in state-funded mental health and substance abuse treatment facilities. Officially established 10 years ago, the last legislature approved a statutory change to allow licensed professional counselors to practice psychotherapy and make Title 47 civil commitment evaluations. Senate Bill 93 helps ensure third-party billing parity for licensed professional counselors, while it also allows them to be included with other healthcare professionals in this area. Senate Bill 93, again, better protects and better serves the public and has, in this particular bill, a zero fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Obermeyer. Are there questions or comments for the staffer? If not, if you could stand by, we appreciate your presentation. We're going to move on to public testimony. And the first person I have signed up is on teleconference. She's the co-chair of the Board of Professional Counselors, Carrie Turnbow, or Turnbow.
Thank you very much. For the record, sir, I will clarify that gender issue there.
Excuse me. I apologize.
No sir. Problem. It's something that's done quite often. My name is Carrie Turnbow. I do serve on the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors. And I'm a practicing clinician in Fairbanks with Hope Counseling Center. And I think that the way the Senate bill was read pretty well covers the need for us being able to add some restrictive language to the licensing requirement under Article 2. Just adding some information or some words, professional counselor, that restrictive language, I think, helps protect the public in terms of someone hanging out a shingle to potentially deceive or misrepresent to the public and therefore potentially adding to a poor or unethical practice. And so that's the reason, the rationale for that. And then the second issue really is about public access, the non-discrimination language, the inclusiveness of LPCs, I think, is just one of omission and just needs to be included in that so that we can do a more extensive job of doing third-party billing for our clients that come to see us.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your testimony.
You're welcome.
And next I have signed up Ann Henry. Says that you're available for questions, but Ms. Henry, I wanted to see if you had any a statement on the bill.
I'd like to clarify a couple of things. This is Ann Henry for the record. I was the board chair for licensed professional counselors for 8 years and have been working with the board on this bill since I retired from the board. The passage of the bill last year that allowed LPCs, licensed professional counselors, to use the term psychotherapy was just one of, we've always been doing psychotherapy, but the term psychotherapy was restricted for use by psychologists when they first passed their statutes years ago and nobody else was practicing. And so they legitimately needed to restrict who could use that terminology. But as more of us have come on and been practicing as mental health professionals, it only makes sense for us to change that language, and we finally did that last year. And that was one of the reasons that some of the insurance companies were refusing to reimburse for our services, because we could not legally bill for psychotherapy, even though that's what we were doing. Psychotherapy is a generic term that everyone across the country uses for the kind of work that we do. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I think otherwise the presentation's been going well, so I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Ms. Henry, thank you very much. Senator Stevens has a question for you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need some clarification, Ms. Henry. I guess as I read this, one of the major issues is to make sure that insurance companies cover these LPCs. What other mental health professionals are currently covered by insurance, are required to be covered by insurance? Can you help me there?
Yes, Senator Stevens, through the chair, there are several major companies that currently do already insure and reimburse for LPCs. Just to name a few, in the state of Alaska, Aetna, Premera, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, TRICARE. The federal government has just recently approved for the VA hospitals all reimbursement for LPCs, and that's been a huge thing. There are only two states in the country now that don't license professional counselors. And more and more, as we've become proven, different companies have been insuring with us. And there are just a few companies, smaller agencies or companies, that don't right now reimburse for our services. That answer that question?
Well, actually, it was a better answer than the question I'd given you. But I was actually asking who is covered normally. I suppose psychiatrists.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Psychologists.
Yes. Again, through the chair, Senator Stevens, psychiatrists, medical MDs, there's a whole list of folks on the bottom of the bill there. The last portion, they name physician assistants, dentists, osteopaths, optometrists, chiropractors, nurse midwives. I'll drop down to the mental health professionals would be psychologists, psychological associates, clinical social workers, and professional counselors. All of these folks have to be licensed by the state to require that reimbursement, though.
Well, thank you, Ms. Henry. So this just sort of closes the loophole that insurance companies have avoided payment for.
That's correct, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Henry. Appreciate you being with us. Let's move now to Shawnee Olson, also with the Board of Professional Counselors.
Thank you, Chairman Ellis, honorable members of the committee. I appreciate your time in taking the time to hear about our Senate bill that we're hoping to get passed. I can only reiterate what my colleagues have said before me. I run a small practice in Homer, Alaska, and I think when people come to obtain services and they see the word professional, they expect licensure, and that expectation in some parts of our state has led to some confusion when that term is being used by folks who aren't indeed licensed. So we are just trying to make a clarification there and support the public in doing so, and also maintain the integrity of the licensure itself. The folks that have the LPC document have gone through a great deal of education and training so that they should have a validness to the license, if you will. The second part of the bill, as both Carrie Turnbow and Ann Henry have expressed, this just adds us to the list of healthcare providers where we haven't been before. We've only been around about 10 years with licensure in the state of Alaska, and probably within the next 2 years, both Nevada and California will join our ranks, and there will be LPCs in every state in the country. At least we're rooting for those two states to make it. So we are very concerned about being added to this list so that there isn't discrimination. To my knowledge, there are only a couple of insurance folks out there that aren't including us because they point to the list and say, but you're not a health care provider in the state of Alaska. So in order to solve that dilemma and enable people, our clients, to get reimbursed, that's the rationale behind that part of this particular Senate bill.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Are there comments or questions for the witness? If not, thank you for being with us. Let's move to Pamela Watts. I believe Pamela's here in Juneau. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Pamela Watts. I'm the administrator for Juneau Alliance for Mental Health Incorporated here in Juneau, the local community mental health center. And there isn't much I have to add to what everyone else has shared today. However, I think that one of the benefits of passage of this bill is help for employers of mental health professionals in recruitment and retention, because as was pointed out earlier, if we have people working in mental health centers who can't be reimbursed for any reason, then that definitely is a detriment, and unfortunately it also limits the access to services for people who are insured and who may be insured by a company that doesn't approve payment for professional counselors. And as Ann Henry mentioned earlier, the fact that the Department of Veterans Affairs has recently approved professional counselors for reimbursement is a very, very big decision on a national level, and a recognition of the value of professional counselors in our communities. Other than that, I just support what everyone else has already said, and I encourage you to pass this legislation through committee. Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Watts, thank you for being with us. Are there any questions or comments? Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Has this been a problem with people pretending to be psychologists when counselors when they're really not? Has that been an issue? That's what the first half of the bill does.
The first part of the bill, you know, it's really funny because you can hear people call themselves all kinds of counselors. You can be a credit counselor. You can be a car sales counselor. You can go into any number of different types of offices, and people will call themselves counselors, or I'm trying to think of it, but funeral business has counselors. So it is difficult for some people to know who they're actually receiving services from, and they may assume that this person is a mental health professional when in fact they're not. And in some cases, yes, there have been people in private practice who have called themselves professional counselors who are unlicensed and have what we would consider more marginal training.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ms. Watts, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
We think that Rick Urey, the Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing, may join us at some point during the meeting. We do definitely want to get a comment from him at some point when the bill is being considered. But is there anyone else here in Juneau or online who would like to testify on Senate Bill 93? If not, we're going to keep the public hearing on this bill open. We'll wait for Mr. Urien to pop in today or at our next scheduled hearing. It's the committee's tradition to have public hearings on the bills and to think about them for some period of time and have the bills back before us. So I personally am in support of the legislation and hope to have this bill back before us in the near future. So I would ask members to talk to the sponsor, think about it, and be ready to act in the relatively near future if we can. So with that, Senate Bill 93 is held over for further consideration. Let's go back to Senate Bill 84. We believe that we have faxed the proposed committee substitute up to Ms. Joanna Bales, Department of Revenue, who's online. Ms. Bales, can you confirm receipt of the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do have that in
okay.
front of me.
Have you had a chance then to consider Senator Bundy's question about whether the title in this proposed committee substitute would allow what he envisions?
Yes, I have looked at that, Mr. Chairman, and it's my understanding from the way it is written that there could be changes made to Articles 5 and 6 of the Cigarette and Tobacco Products Excise Tax Statutes. Article 5 is the cigarette directory, and Article 6 is the cigarette tax stamps, and it does appear to me that this title is broad enough to allow that. However, Senator Bundy might want to confirm that with Ledge Legal.
Okay. Well, it had been my desire working with the sponsor to tighten up the title somewhat to prevent some things that could occur in the legislative process and encourage folks who want to achieve those goals to do them in separate legislation. Senator Bundy had other things in mind than things that I would disagree with. So, Senator Bundy, has the question been answered to your satisfaction?
It has. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bales, for being with us. The Chair at this time will entertain a motion to adopt the 596-K version committee substitute as the item before us.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the 25LS0596-K as the committee substitute.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? If not, that is the version of the bill before us for consideration. Is there any committee discussion? I'm hoping to move this bill along through the process. And on to the next committee of referral with accompanying fiscal note. Is there any committee discussion of the legislation? We've had a hearing, and I'm ready to act if other folks feel like they've had a chance to consider it. Self-extinguishing cigarettes. If there's no committee discussion, the chair will entertain a motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move out CS for Senate Bill number 84 with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, the bill moves on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note. Okay, if you all can sign the committee report as it comes around. We'll move on now to the third and final item before us today, Senate Bill 68. Motor vehicle insurance, and the sponsor is here with staff. If you all could join us at the table. As I understand it, there is a new work draft that the sponsor and committee staff have worked on together. Senator French, your staff, did you want to talk us through the new proposed committee substitute?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. And before you is a new CS. The backslash should be backslash K, kilo. What the CS does is it, and I'll just walk you through the changes, Mr. Chairman, and what it does and doesn't do. The CS narrows Section 5 of the bill by specifying that the department shall adopt an online system for verifying mandatory insurance. It's backslash Lima. It should be backslash Lima. We're just double checking our work here before we get too far along and go down the wrong avenue. So for the record, it's backslash Lima. And previously to this version, the language in the bill allowed for any type of electronic verification. We found through our research and through our discussions with other knowledgeable folks is that the online method is the most widely supported. So that's what the bill does. Remaining in the bill is the requirement for proof of insurance when registering and re-registering your vehicle. you may remember from earlier testimony that currently all you have to do is tell the DMV that you have insurance, and there's no actual proof that's tendered. We think this is an important aspect of tightening up the insurance requirements. Also remaining is the provision allowing municipalities to impound vehicles that don't have insurance. That puts a big hammer in the hands of officers and others who come into contact with drivers that don't have insurance on their cars. The bill is written to provide an event-based verification system for insurance, and that means the state shall verify that you have mandatory insurance during points of contact. And a point of contact is, for example, when you go see DMV to register your car, or when a peace officer runs your plate, and so forth. So it's registration, renewal of registration, and during traffic stops. Including in the packet is a report from an industry group known as the IICMVA. It's the Insurance Industry Committee on Motor Vehicle Administration. The report concludes that this nationwide regulatory body supports an event-based online verification system. These systems and methods have garnered industry support because they are compatible with industry computer programs. And finally, also included in your packet is information on a company called Verisol. That's an existing company that provides this service. Verisol came to our attention by the Department of Motor Vehicles as a method being adopted by other states. Verisol was designed by insurance industry folks in a way that makes data integration simple and efficient. And I'll just add in closing that Verisol is currently being implemented by Wyoming, Texas, Florida, and most recently Oklahoma. And from a conversation that my staffer had with Verisol, it sounded as though the amount of work involved with starting up the Verisol system was hours, perhaps even a day. It's not a massive overhaul. It's a fairly efficient system to put into place. So that's an overview of the bill. Carrie Hennings is online to answer more detailed questions about Verisol, if that's the area of interest that you and the members of the committee have. And thank you for this opportunity to explain the new CS.
Okay. Thank you, Senator French. Appreciate your presentation. We do, as noted, have Carrie Hennings online from DMV to answer questions, and the Director of Motor Vehicles, Dwayne Bannock. Are there questions or comments for the sponsor or for DMV? Senator Hoffman?
Did you cover how soon the uninsured has to get his insurance in order and still be able to drive?
The do you mean on a new vehicle, for example?
No, if they're identified as having not insurance by a police officer.
The way the bill is currently written, I believe, allows a police officer to impound a car if you don't have insurance. That way, no one can be, you know, it's up to the police officer to let the person either go home and on a promise to get insurance, or to impound the car and sort of force the issue, depending on, you know, the totality of the circumstances. Does that answer your question, Senator Hoffman? Through the chair, I don't mean to evade your question, but I want to make sure. Thank you.
Mr. Bannock or Ms. Hennings, any comments on the proposed committee substitute?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Dwayne Bannock, and if I may, I'd like to defer to my manager of driver licensing, Carrie Hennings.
Certainly.
Hello, Chairman. This is Carrie Hennings with Division of Motor Vehicles. And what was your question, sir?
We were just wondering if you had any comments on the proposed committee substitute. On second thought, you may not have the proposed committee substitute before you.
We do have it.
Oh, you do? Excellent.
Yes, and
good
it's
staff.
Right in line with what the division would like to see.
Excellent. Okay, any comments? Senator Bundy.
Just a question for DMV. We have a new fiscal a note here of $290,000 a year, and that is the your projected cost of implementing this bill.
Senator, this is Dwayne Bannock, and I'll address that if I can. We used a formula that a couple of other states use for determining the cost of an online verification program. And using our numbers, the quantity of our vehicles, that's how we've established that note, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. We also, I should note, have Jeffrey Trout online. He's the Deputy Director of Insurance, is available for questions if necessary. But we also have Captain Bill Miller of the Anchorage Police Department. Captain Miller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
If you would just state your name and affiliation for the record, and please go ahead with your testimony.
My name is Bill Miller. I'm a captain with the Anchorage Police Department. I was actually, I don't know if I got the right place. I was looking to testify for Senate Bill 78, automotive window tinting.
Mr. Chairman, if I can jump in, I think we just had a hearing on that bill in the Transportation Committee, so I'm afraid Captain Miller
got in on the wrong legislation.
Wrong place, but we'd love to have his support of this bill if he's ready to do so.
Captain Miller, if you're passing out support, Senator French would be happy to take you up on it. Senator Bundy?
Well, by happenstance, we have him here, and I have a question then.
Sure.
That I think Senator Lyman Hoffman alluded to, and that is, a police officer stops someone, they don't have insurance, and then it's the police officer's sole responsibility to decide to impound that car or not. I'm just wondering, as a police officer, how do you think that would go into effect? Does the patrolman want the additional decision to make, or would they just automatically impound all cars? What do you think the practical aspects would be?
Between being allowed to make the decision or just doing it out of hand? Is that the question?
If I may, yeah. As I understand the bill, police officers stop someone. They're not, they do not have proof of insurance. They run it through the computer and there's no proof of insurance. Then the police officer has the option of impounding a car or not, based on his judgment of the situation. Just wondering about, I know you haven't seen the bill and this is catching you.
If I could stand firmly in the middle of the fence, I can speak as an administrator. It is always easier for me to give direction in absolutes, because there is less question about what's to be done and less chance of a complaint from the public. Speaking as an individual officer, I think that I have the good judgment to make a correct call based on the information that I have out in the field. So I guess I know that doesn't really answer your question very well, but our officers, I believe, have the good judgment to make independent decisions out in the field, and do that every day.
Thank you. I think I also heard you say, though, as an administrator, to avoid any discussion of favoritism or unfair, uneven judgment, you're likely to just tell your patrol officers to impound the car.
That is very likely.
Okay, thank you.
That is exactly what we do. If you cannot see tangible proof of insurance and cannot find a way to verify that they do have insurance, then you will impound the car.
Okay, thank you.
Captain Miller, thank you. Senator Hoffman has a question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Do you know if there are impoundment areas in sub-regional areas of the state, like Barrow, Bethel, Dillingham, Kotzebue, Nome?
I do not. And I've not talked to any police officers from that area about that subject.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Thank you, Captain Miller. Is there any further discussion before I'm getting close to soliciting a motion to adopt the committee substitute? It's 342/L version that's in your packet. Anything else, Senator French, anything else on the committee substitute before we make that the version before us?
Just to point out that I think in our far-flung state, it's a good idea to begin to move in the direction of computerization, and this is a step, in my view, in that direction to make it easier for our officers across the state to have a way to check and to verify whether folks have insurance on their cars.
Senator Bundy, on that point?
No, I have another question. Thank you.
Okay, and it relates to the committee substitute?
Yeah.
then go right ahead.
Oh, and we had someone from Division of Insurance online, you said?
We do, Mr. Jeffrey Trout.
Oh. Actually,
you're here. Oh, you're there. Oh, I thought that was you back there. Okay, come forward, if you would. If you guys don't mind shifting over. Mr. Trout, welcome. If you could just state your name and affiliation again for the record.
I'm Jeffrey Trout. I'm Deputy Director for the Division of Insurance, live and in person.
And Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've got a balancing act going on here. We want to keep uninsured people off the road and thereby lower our uninsured motorist rate. On the other hand, if we get people in the pool that are bad drivers and the insurance companies have to do more work, then the rates for the regular drivers go up. Senator French mentioned several states where they've put in this this system. Do you have any information about the impact on insurance rates for regular drivers in those states?
Through the chair, Senator Bunny, no, I don't. Unfortunately, our the true expert on this, Sarah McNair Grove, she's in New York, actually in another state, for the National Insurance Association of Insurance Commissioners meeting. So I'm not. I don't know, but I can. I will promise to get you some information on that. I mean, I know it does. I know it does have an impact, but I can't tell you whether it's a little or a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Other comments, Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, could you tell us, Mr. Trout, about this online insurance verification? How dependable is that? Is that something that has been proven, and you're comfortable with its dependability? And
through the chair, Senator Stevens. Again, I sort of have to apologize that at least on this issue, there's some issues where I'm the A team, but on this issue, I'm kind of the B team. Ms. McNair Grove is out of town. She would know that. My understanding is that it's being used in other states, and there's glitches and problems with anything, and it's I'm sure it's one of those things. It's only as good as the data that they have. I mean, but the data for keeping real-time databases. I mean, the technology continues to get better, but I can't tell you right now whether it's at a state where it's good or bad.
Thank you.
Yeah, my understanding, this is strictly anecdotal, is that there have been instances where people have, where there's been mistakes, but I think you'll find that, anytime you deal with, your utility bill or anything else like that, there's mistakes and errors that occur, and people getting frustrated because their car gets impounded, things like that. But I will be happy to get back to you because I don't know. Pardon me?
It would be frustrating.
It is? Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Trout? If not, thank you for being here, and we try and get us that information as soon as you can.
I will. Thank you very much.
For inclusion in the record. I would note that the bill goes on to transportation and finance after it leaves this committee. The chair will entertain a motion at this time to adopt the Bailey /L committee substitute is the item before us.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? The Bailey /L is the version before us. Senator French, could you come back to the table, please?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Forgive me if I keep my legislative brain with me.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to figure out, get a sense. And, it's important for all the members of the committee to have their questions answered and to feel a comfort level with legislation, and that all the labor and commerce aspects of a piece of legislation have been thoroughly vetted before we pass bills on to the next committee of referral. Can you just help us think one more time through the committee? We've, members have been in and out of the discussions of your bill that's been before us in previous hearings. Can you just make another pitch or summing up of the case for the bill? I know your staff has worked very hard for us, with my staff, to get the labor and commerce issues resolved here. Though with any new system, there's some uncertainty and questions about how this would logistically unfold. So if you could just give us your pitch again, and I hope to move this bill today or at the next committee hearing if people need a little bit more time to think through the issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and absolutely, we're not encouraging anybody to take precipitous action. And let me just maybe begin by answering a concern that came up during that last round of questions about accidental, inadvertent, or bad data impounds. One of the I spoke at some length with Senator Stevens. I know my staff has been working with his office with respect to an amendment dealing with removing the need to have an insurance card on your person or in your vehicle. And one of the reasons why we hesitated on that was because of its ability to serve as a backup in the event of a computer malfunction. You know, I think an officer in the field confronted with a web-based data system that said that's either down or says this person doesn't have insurance, and a card good for the dates that's good for the current date would hesitate, do the right thing, maybe write a citation, but certainly not impound a car based with that conflicting evidence. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's at least for the time being important to keep on the books the fact that a card serves as valid evidence of proof of insurance. It backs up the online web-based system. And so that's, I think, at least one of the concerns I can sense coming from the committee is a computer malfunction leading to a ticket or a car impound.
And that was appreciated, working with a member to resolve that issue, a consumer concern.
Absolutely. More globally, I think that, the real decision the committee needs to make is, are we ready to move forward to a new sort of system for verifying insurance and putting more checks in place, particularly at the point of registration and renewal of registration and during traffic stops, on those scofflaws that are driving our insurance rates up through their failure to make the economic choice to cover their car with insurance. I think that's kind of the crux. The crux policy choice for the committee, and as I say, I think questions about Verisol can be answered by the folks that are online. But that's the meat of the bill and the heart of the bill. And I appreciate your giving this the study and the thought that you have.
Senator Stevens, back to you. I was under the mistaken impression that the committee substitute included your concern, but it's a separate amendment.
No, you're right. Necessary. And I love that word scofflaws. That's just really great. I think I'd ask through the chair, the Senator French's preference on this. I mean, it seems to me if we had an up and going, wonderful system, that electronic mandatory motor vehicle insurance verification system, that it would make a lot of sense not to require people to have clip those things out and put them in every 6 months in their car. But I sense from what you said that we may not be so sure of that right at this point, and maybe it's best to allow people, have people to continue to carry those things in the glove compartment, and then use this as a backup, and then use this as the primary system. And then maybe a few years from now, if we find out it's really working swimmingly, then we come back and change it so that you don't have to carry that in your glove box. So would that be your recommendations then, Senator French, that we not amend?
That was my rationale, Senator, through the chair. It's a policy call. It's sort of a weighing all the possibilities out. It just seems like with a brand new online system going into place, doing away with the cards right now may be just a little bit premature, and it's something we can come back to after we've seen the new system up and running.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the comment, and I appreciate the efforts your staff did on putting together an amendment, and I won't be introducing it this time.
Okay. Okay. Is there any other thoughts about markup of the bill at this time? Senator French, thank you for summing up the case in favor. If the committee were willing to act at this time, I'm willing to do so. If we want to think about it one more time, I'd really ask members to focus on it and really, come to a conclusion in your mind. And I can entertain the motion this Thursday to move the bill on to transportation and then on to finance. So can members of the committee give me a feeling if you'd like to act today or to consider action on Thursday?
I'm sure I'm comfortable with acting today.
Okay. Well, like I said, this is a collaborative process, and I'm willing to give people more time if they need it. If not, if that's not a request for more time, I'll entertain a motion at this time to move the Labor and Commerce version of the bill onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note.
So moved.
I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Senator Bundy.
Speak to my objection.
Please.
Certainly I don't object to Senator French's goal of getting uninsured people off the highways. But I look at it as a little bit like purifying water. You can get water 90% pure for a relatively inexpensive rate, but to get the 99%, it gets very expensive. And I think for the net gain, this is going to get rather expensive. It's going to cost nearly $300,000 a year into the future to run the system, cost to the state. And I'm still very concerned about what it's going to cost in insurance rates that will rise because of additional expenses to insurance companies. For the apparent gain we'll get. Mr. Chairman, when I was very young, I was in the military, and in order to have a car on base, you had to have insurance. But young men didn't have much money, so along came an insurance company that said, for very few dollars, we'll insure you only on base. And that met the letter of the law, creating the rest of us scoff laws, because the minute we drove off base, we weren't insured. I'm almost willing to bet that if we put this bill into law, there will be a company that will provide insurance on a monthly basis, which means we will have these scoff laws that insure themselves for a month out of every two-year period until they have to come back and re-register their car. It certainly is the case that if this were law, that the police officer can stop and catch them. But if the drivers of Alaska thought that the police officer was going to catch them, we wouldn't have any red light runners, and we've got a lot of them. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't object to the goal of the bill. I just think the net gain isn't worth the cost to the general public, and so can't support the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, the interesting point has arisen. By law, I have to carry that card in my glove compartment, right, to prove that I have insurance. What if I'm stopped and they find that they go through the computer and they find that I am insured, but I've forgotten to put the card in my glove compartment? Am I going to get a ticket for not carrying that card, even though I'm insured?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the answer is no, you won't get a ticket. The bill is written in the alternative, so that either form of proof is sufficient.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bundy, on that
I'm
point?
I'm always looking on the other side of things. Mm-hmm. If I'm carrying my card and I get stopped and there's a computer glitch, I think the police officer is going to believe the computer way over my card, and I'm likely to get my car impounded, which will cost, as I understand it, hundreds of dollars now. So I wouldn't throw away those cards, but I'm afraid the computer will draw more water than any card.
We might see. Anyone else wish to speak to the motion? If not, the question is before us to move the bill on to the next committee of referral. Take the roll, please.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Bundy?
No.
Senator Davis?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Ellis?
Yes. So the bill moves on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note. Senator French, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I appreciate your work on this bill.
You're welcome. Okay, if members could be sure to sign the committee report. Mr. Urien has not joined us, so we are officially holding over Senate Bill 93 to the next meeting, and we disposed of the cigarette bill. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? Seeing none, I will adjourn the committee at 2:22 in the afternoon.